So let's talk about the map tool itself. Let's go into the details of what the tool is from a high-level view and see some of its capabilities. Off and on during the presentation, you'll be seeing this diagram over here. What this really shows is that the map tool, Microsoft Assessment and Planning tool, sits at the center of your infrastructure and can look at things like Windows servers, Hyper-V servers, Vista, Windows 7, Office 2007, Office 2010. Application virtualization, SQL Server, all the assets in your environment, your devices, all that stuff is categorized by the map tool. So, what's an agenda for today? Let's look at what is the map toolkit. We'll go into some demos later and possibly some Q&A at the end. So, why do you need the map tool? Well, this is a great example. In today's modern organizations, there's always been challenges around organization, knowing what you have. So, an assessment of what you have, untangling, disorganizing, or organizing rather, and kind of dismantling all of the tangled mess that we have and figuring out what exactly do I have so I can plan for hardware, plan for software upgrades, all those kinds of things. So, one, you want to assess what you have, and two, you want to plan it out so that you know when you can upgrade, what you can upgrade, time frames, hardware necessary, software necessary, budget necessary, time, all that stuff. So, just to piggyback on that, some questions you might ask from an IT standpoint is, can I migrate my servers to Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2? Can I consolidate with Hyper-V? Can I use Virtual Machine Manager? What about app virtualization, Windows 7? What legacy SQL assets do I have? Are my PCs secure enough? What could I do from a cost-saving standpoint if I had better power saving and cost management around power? So what the map tool does is it allows you to do a quick assessment of all those things. You can look at multiple product inventory, readiness, security, compatibility, power management, virtualization, and consolidation, and it helps you to plan better. You can have much greener systems in the sense that you can really dumb down the number of servers that you have, and you can virtualize those as well. So I know in a Microsoft consolidation study, I think it was a 6-to-1 consolidation, so big ROI on that. And you can really intelligently place the servers where you want to put them. So, what is the map toolkit? If you look at it from a diagram standpoint, you've got the ability to look at things like servers. And within the servers, you can look down at different flavors of Windows servers. You can look at return on investment of those servers, should you virtualize them. You can look at your desktops if you have Vista, Windows 7. You can look at the power footprint. You can look at the forefront or security footprint you have on those. You can look at things like databases. So, do I have SQL Server 2000, 2005, 2008? Do I have R2? And then you can look at things like software plus services to find out how am I doing from an exchange standpoint, as well as tools, things like partner tool customization and hardware libraries. So, if you want to take this tool and customize it with a partner, then that's possible as well if you want to extend it. And we'll talk about extending the map tool as we go along. So, how does the map tool work? Initially, you start with a question. We always start with questions and kind of innovate or go from there. If you want to do an upgrade, you want to virtualize, you want to consolidate, you want to migrate, what is the best way to do that? How do I start? So, the initial way is to one, download the map tool. It's a free tool. Go to microsoft.com/map. And then from that standpoint, you've already got the tool loaded on your laptop. You can go out in an agentless manner using Windows Management Instrumentation. It's something that will go out. You don't have to install any agents on the actual machines that you're interrogating. And it will pull back that information and allow you to create reports from that information. It'll also store it in a SQL Server Express so that if you're savvy from the database standpoint, you can go down and query those tables specifically from the map SQL Server standpoint. So what's it good for? What is the map tool good for in terms of what do I really want to use it for? Well, we talked about it being agentless. It's great if you want to merge company assets, if you inherit new assets, you want to assess those. You want to look at things like upgrade potential, security challenges, best practices, consolidation challenges, uncover shadow IT. That's a great one. If you want to find, hey, these guys are running the SQL Server, we don't know, you know, where it is, but we want to find out the name of it and kind of go from there. And then finding out a summary of applications that you have. Maybe it's Office, maybe other applications. What kind of devices that do you have? What server virtualization candidates do you have? Power management, app virtualization assessment, and things like hardware and device compatibility for Windows. So all these represent scenarios that would really fit a map engagement implementation. So what are some of the reports look like? You've got a proposal generated, as well as you've got some detailed spreadsheets. So if you're into the number crunching, you look on the spreadsheet side. If you're into the proposals and the documents, you can go that route as well. So you can see it prints out not only SQL assessments, but you get nice assessments for things like Windows, Windows 7, Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows Server, all the different assets you want to look at, power management, all those get their separate reports that you can take those reports and you can tailor those based on what your needs are. So you can pull charts and graphs out if you like pie charts, if you like to copy and paste the numbers from Excel. If you want to take one of these proposals and then put it into a larger proposal, that's possible too. So the map tool really goes out and does the hard work of it's over a million lines of code, and it goes out, pulls all this really difficult information to pull back and allows you to start out with just an amazing starting point in terms of you don't have to go through all the firewalls and all the permissions when you go through the network. You'd have to be administrator. But once you've done that, you don't have to write this very complex code that has error handling and stuff built into it that allows you to spider all the assets that you possibly can, while the ones that you can't, it gracefully will tell you that, hey, I couldn't, you know, hit five out of the 500 assets that I was looking for. And then again, if you want to look at some of the reports, you get it in our favorite BI tool, Excel, where you can do all sorts of, you know, pivot tables and pivot charts and aggregations and all sorts of really interesting things. There's also summary tabs, and then there's more detailed information in the other tabs as well. So hopefully you'll check out the map tool if it's something that interests you. It's a free tool, and it really promotes much better organization than the initial chaos that we saw at the beginning. So some features that you might be interested in as we go forward to map 5.0. If you go to the Microsoft Connect site, you'll be able to download that. And here's the link down at the bottom here. But some of the improved features are things like the ability to look at Linux servers, Unix servers, VMware. Office 2010 is coming out, so you'll be able to do a readiness assessment for that. Look at Hyper-V specifically. That's our virtualization technology, and make an assessment of which machines are Hyper-V ready. Look at your VM server hosts and guests. And like we said earlier, you can do co-branding. And there's some other improvements around things like security and security assessments. So lots of improvements in 5.0. Another thing you can do too with the map tool, if you've got savvy developers in your organization, or you're a good developer, whether it's SQL Server or if you're, say, a .NET or Java programmer, you can take this information and then you can surface it up through, say, .NET, say, Java, say, reporting services in SQL Server. You might want to look at it from an OLAP cube standpoint. You might want to put it in any kind of analysis software that you can look at the data from different dimensions. So lots of ways to extend the map tool. There's been things like centralized policy and performance warehouses done. If you have a resource governor that you want to implement, what you can do is you can take all the data that is housed in these spreadsheets and or the database. And so Microsoft has just done a huge amount of work in terms of finding out what those assets are. Now all you've got to do is take that list of, say, SQL servers or Windows servers, plug those into some kind of ROI tool that you're most interested in, and then extend that. So there's lots of CodePlex projects. That's Microsoft's open source site where you can see that people have taken some of this initial assessment data and then really expanded on it. And so just something I'd consider or to consider doing if you've got access to this kind of tool and you've got access to and ways to extend it. Some last minute questions that come up: is it secure? How much data traffic do we get? And what's the impact on each computer? Well, it's a very secure tool. You obviously can't access a resource unless you have permissions to it. So you want to have an administrative user either locally or on the network if you're going to be looking at a network. So any machine that you would expect to access from an administrative level, you need to have administrative privileges. So it's very secure in that regard. It works like any other Windows software would. It's very minimal traffic per computer, so 300 megabyte per PC of traffic generated in toto. And then the impact is the algorithm's smart enough to only hit 30 machines at a time. So you're not going to see lots of impact on the network and or all the machines around your network. So hopefully you can see that using the map tool will help you plan and assess things, and you come up with a much more organized kind of set of framework for your organization, and you can kind of know where you're going, know where you are, and so hopefully that helps you understand the map tool. If you have any questions, feel free to call me or email me. I'm Mike Wilmot, and I work for Microsoft. Thank you. This is the website for the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit. As you can see, there is a lot of information here about setup, release notes. There's a getting started document. There's also some sample documents. If you do a simple search of Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, it should bring you to this website as the first link. What the toolkit allows you to do is to get an inventory of all your SQL Server assets, Windows Server assets, Office assets, things like doing a security profile, looking at different devices around your network, that kind of thing. To actually start the tool up, you go into the Start menu, Programs, you look at the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, and you click on this link. I've already started it up for ease of use, so let's just take a look at the actual tool itself. You've got three tabs down here, Inventory and Assessment. This is the one that you'll probably stay on the most, and surveys and reference material if you want to get help on it or look something up that you have questions about the tool, you can do that as well. Surveys have to do with optimized desktop, but again, today we're going to look at the inventory and assessment piece. So let's look under each menu. You can select a database under the file menu. You can view saved reports and proposals. We'll do that in a second. There's a tools options menu here that you can look for things like updates, and then there's a help menu. So what we're going to do now is look at save reports and proposals. I haven't run this yet, so there's nothing there. If we want to, we can look at the sample reports. And what that will do is it will connect you to this download.microsoft.com and get you those reports. I'm going to choose not to do that because I've already downloaded those reports to my local hard drive, so I'm going to look at those right now. So here's ultimately the output of the assessment tool. You're going to get several different reports, some based on things like application virtualization. You might have different inventories around things like Office, performance metrics, power savings, security assessments, SQL Server assessments, server virtualization assessments, Windows 7, Windows 2008 R2 assessments, all geared to either figure out what you've got and or how easy it is to upgrade to the latest and greatest version of those software packages. Now, if you want to look at, say, an example report here, we can look at, for instance, this Windows 2008 proposal. Now, there's a proposal, which is a document, more of a management-facing document, and then there's a Excel spreadsheets more on the technical side that list all the different assets. So if we look at, say, this Windows Server 2008 proposal, it gives you a nice document that can be management-facing, and you can see that it's got an executive overview and assessment of results here. So things like, where's your organization now? It's got 86 servers. And, are you ready for Windows or not? Things of that nature. So it's pretty helpful in that regard. Should you migrate, security issues, virtualization, et cetera, et cetera. There's also a SQL Server assessment here. If we look at that, there's a proposal as well as a spreadsheet. If I look at the spreadsheet, it's going to give us detail down on the SQL Server instance level around the number of services you've got from database, integration services, analysis service, reporting services. And then you can look at your individual instances and look at things like computer name, instance name, the version, the service pack. Lots of really good information around the edition, if it's clustered, the language, stuff that you want to know about your environment, what's running, what's not. The type of operating system, all these kinds of things are in the spreadsheets. As well, if I look at the sample reports, then in terms of the Word document, then it's going to give us a little more of an executive view of that same information. Some nice charts, graphs, pie charts, things like that, just showing you roughly where you're at as an organization, how difficult it would be to upgrade, migration benefits, pros and cons, things like the additions that you're running. So lots of really helpful information if you're trying to assess what you've got and kind of map out where you're going. So that's where it's an assessment and a planning tool, looking at things like next steps, things like that. Now, if we actually run the tool itself, I'm going to go into the map tool now and click on this inventory assessment wizard. And what this will do, it will prompt you for asking you for a database that you want to run the tool under. So in that regard, I need to select a database here. So let's get over to that dialog. So I'm going to go into the file menu, select a database. I don't have a database right now, so I'm going to call this MapDB. And this will create the map database for us. Now, all these databases are created in the context of SQL Server Express. And that's part of the install process. Some people say, hey, I want to run this on my SQL Server in its own right. Well, the problem with that is that the model database becomes the map database, and Microsoft doesn't want you to gum up your regular SQL Server with this map database model database. So what we've done is just put it on a separate instance of SQL Server Express. It's a little less configurable than some folks want, but it keeps your SQL Server safe from having any kind of pollution from any bits getting sprayed into there or performance regions, things like that. So it's actually a smart idea to have it in the context of SQL Server Express. Now, if I go ahead and run the tool here, what you're going to see is that there's multiple ways to identify computers. In this regard, I'm going to look at Active Directory and Windows Network Protocols. You can do things like scan an IP address range. If you want a smaller range, you can look at computer names from a file. Manually enter the names. You can use VMware, which is a new feature in this Map 2000 or Map 5.0 version. I showed you that actually the 4.0 version. If you look at connect.microsoft.com, there's actually a 5.0 version which I connected to here with my Windows Live ID that you can actually download this and get the 5.0 CTP, the Customer Technology Preview. So I went ahead and did that just to be in the latest and greatest. And like I said, it does allow you to do things like VMware discovery, which is nice. I'm going to go ahead and click through here, and I have a domain set up, so I'm going to put in my credentials here. What I'm going to do is look across all my domains here. So I have this mic.lab in my lab environment. What I want to do is spider across that entire domain to find all the assets that I can find in that environment. I'm going to add an account. Hit next. And then I'm going to hit finish there. Now, what it's going to do, it's going to walk through my entire Active Directory network and it's going to find all the assets that relate to all those categories that we showed you earlier in the sample report. So ultimately, it's going to look through my network. These are the sample reports that we got before, but it's going to look through my network and find all the reports that are relevant to all the assets it's going to find. So that's kind of the process we're doing now. For the 36 or so assets that are looking through right now, it's going to probably take maybe 5 or 10 minutes. So I will come back when this is done, and then we'll look at some of the output from this. So now I'm back to my assessment here. You can see that of the 36 assets that found an Active Directory, there's a lot of stale records in AD. So that's why there was 10 successes and 8 failures. The failures were the ones that are old records that I've old computers that I've removed from the network. So what you have now is the ability to look at these reports, not just the sample reports, but the actual reports that we just created from that assessment we did. Now what you can do is go to the file, and then you can say prepare new reports and proposals. Now the thing is that the assessment tool went out, got all this information, put it in the SQL Server Express. So all that information exists there. Now the question is, which reports do we want? Do we want all of them? Do we want something specific to SQL Server, Office, Security, Power Savings, System Center? It really depends on the target that you're most interested in. So in this case, I'm just going to go for all the reports here, and we'll see what the output looks like in a second. So at this point, the proposals have been generated. We'll hit close on this, and now we can go look at our reports. So if you go under the View menu, Saved Reports and Proposals, you can see that there are all these proposals that are based on my actual environment here, not just the sample reports that we looked at earlier. So if you're interested in something like SQL Server, it's always fascinating to note that there's a lot more assets in your environment than you might actually think. So this initial page breaks it down by database, integration, analysis, and reporting. You can also look at a more detailed view of all your SQL Server instances by computer name, instance name, product version, service pack, edition, et cetera, et cetera. So a really powerful tool, gives you all sorts of really great information about your environment. As well, you can go into the instance that you're running your map version of SQL Server Express, find the actual database that houses that information, and you can look at the tables there. The interesting part about this is you get all sorts of information about your environment, and it's pretty fascinating to find how much information the map tool actually discovers around things like file shares, keyboards, modems, motherboards, devices, parallel ports, patches, all sorts of performance information. All this is the information that exists around your enterprise. So it's not solely just limited to operating system information or office information, but you get a whole host of information about your enterprise that if you have someone that's fairly adept at SQL Server, they can come in and look at these tables and print out nice reports about the contents there too. So definitely something to look at as far as mining the map tool data. And as far as mining the actual data goes, I have a peer of mine, Russell Christopher, who's actually surfaced a bunch of the map data within the context of Power Pivot, which is a new BI tool that Microsoft has come out with, a business intelligence tool it's an add-in to Excel. So let's look at some samples that he's been able to generate from the map data. This is Power Pivot, and this is Power Pivot that is looking at the map data, and the map data has been collated together. There's been some joins between things like databases and servers, but you can see that if you have a business analyst that can look at this data, you can find really interesting information, trending, and that sort of thing, all related to your data around your enterprise. You can slice it and dice it any way you want and come out with really interesting mappings, tables, charts, reports, et cetera, et cetera. So definitely something to think about as far as extending the map data. If you feel really ambitious, you can do things like create OLAP cubes from map data. So here is an example of an OLAP cube that I've been working on that you can look at. There's a fact table and some dimension tables. If you want to slice and dice that data, you can do things like browse the data. You can look at different measures. Say you want to look at things like, as far as the SQL Server world goes, you want to look at your total disk space used. And say you want to look at something around SQL Server usage around, say, instance name. So you can do things like find out which instances, how much space they take. You can look at things like indexes, tables, users, all those kinds of things. And so the map data is fairly infinite in terms of knowing the questions that you want to ask it, and then asking those questions can be a pretty powerful exercise in kind of getting to where you want to get from a data mining standpoint. So something to consider as you go forward with just how to extend and enhance the map data. So that's kind of a low-level view of that. Again, you can use something like the Power Pivot tool to surface the OLAP cube data here. So a nice combination would be to take this underlying data, surface it through Power Pivot. Now, another way to surface the data is through something like a WPF app. And so if you look at a tool like Telerik is a third-party vendor that has multiple really impressive products. If you look at, they have products for ASP.NET Ajax, Silverlight, WinForms, WPF. And so really great company. I've been testing out their tool lately. So I want to show you an example of a WPF app written in .NET leveraging Telerik. This is the same information that we're seeing here, that we're seeing Power Pivot, all map data. And when you surface it up, you can make kind of really compelling charts and graphs looking at your SQL Server as a utility. The concept of a utility is all your SQL servers are kind of looked at aggregated here. So looks like there's a spike here on the 7th of January. And if you hover over this, the controls are really nice because you can do things like find out, hey, there's a spike here in my cluster server, my CLU1 server. Something happened there on that date, so I'm going to go look in what caused that delta. This other VM the other server VM4 looked like it went up a little bit, but the majority of it was due to that cluster server changing. So something on that changed. You can also do things like hover over bar graphs and get really nice outputs in terms of things like instance growth here. You get really attractive kind of donut charts here and really pretty labels as well. So the support's been really good from Telerik. Now, if I click on this graph here, you can see too that it's got a really rich set of user interfaces where it's going to change the donut out to the right to manifest what I have stored there from a database perspective. So this database NLP is taking up the majority of the space here, and AdventureWorks is taking about 17%. So it's just a nice way of seeing, you know, what I have by database here. Prior to that, we looked at it by SQL version. And then when I clicked on that too, I got this chart actually updated and changed to show what is actually happening on that instance from a growth standpoint from both the log file and the database file. If I hover that over that, I can see which database has changed and got incremental growth there. So really powerful tool. I'd recommend that you consider looking at third-party tools, at tools like Power Pivot, and also just leveraging the map tool to get as much information as you can from your environment. Hey, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit Extender that I wrote. It's up on dbspider.codeplex.com. At the end of this presentation, I'll do a longer version of what the map tool is and what it is I'm extending. If you haven't seen an example of that, then stay tuned. Also, I'll have a sister presentation, most likely on Channel 9, that you'll be able to search by my last name and find another presentation on the map tool. So I'm not going to go into the map tool tonight because I want to talk about this extender and give a fairly quick introduction on how to use it and how to get started.
ultimately, the reports that you'll generate will look a lot like this if you're using the WPF tool. If you decide to be adventurous and download and go to powerpivot.com and use PowerPivot, a friend of mine, Russell Christopher, who's a BITS, created an example that I included in the MSI file download that you're welcome to look at as an example and play around with. So what I'm going to do now in this presentation is go through the steps of how to actually install the map extender and run it. So I'm going to go through the steps on a virtual machine, and you can follow along with me. If you want, you might want to copy off these instructions somewhere or have them just in your back pocket so you can refer to them as I go through the steps. The first thing you do is you go to Microsoft.com WAC map. If you go there, you will get ultimately redirected to a TechNet site. And what you can do then is kind of get an overview of the map tool. You can go ahead and download it. There's a 5.0 kit now that it believes in CTP, Customer Technology Preview. You can use the 4.0 or 5.0. It really doesn't matter that much for the purposes of the map extender. I've tried it on both and it works fine for either one. The next thing you want to do is go to dbspider.codeplex.com. That's the add-in that I've created. It gives a quick view here of what the tool does. This tool and its simplicity and its essential nature, what it does, it helps you determine a footprint for your entire SQL Server utility, and it spans across 2000, 2005, and 2008 of SQL Server. Looks at things like what are your Windows instances, your database instances and your databases themselves, tables and indexes, some information about all those, and surfaces those up through a WPF app. And like I said, you can use the PowerPivot piece as well. There's a download right here, so you can go ahead and download the tool if you want. Hit the I agree button, and then what you're going to do is save the download. I saved it into my C drive under DBSpider Prezo. Once you have the zip file, I'm going to go ahead and open that up, and you can see there's a MSI file and a setup.exe file. You can actually run either one of these, and you get to the same result. So I'm just going to run setup, and I'm going to put it into a C directory called cdbspider setup. Hit next. Once you run the setup, you'll see that it puts all the files into the folder that you specified. It's got an executable here that's the command line application. It's got the PowerPivot spreadsheet you can look at on your own later. You have to have the latest version of Excel for that and the PowerPivot add-on from powerpivot.com. And then there's a WPF app, which is the visual GUI that we'll look at in a little bit. So those are the main components. There's a bunch of controls from Telerik that I'm using their WPF app. There's a README file, which you shouldn't have to really worry about because most of the information is on the CodePlex site. And there's a SQL Server script that I run on the installation. When I run DBSpider with the installation switch, it actually runs through this SQL script and installs a bunch of objects from a schema called Wilmo and runs through that and adds all these to your map database that you've already installed and run the map tool with. So now if I look at my DBSpider directory, if I do a dir on it, then we should find two executables there. And if I just type in DBSpider, this is kind of the entry point for the tool. You'll see that it's got a little kind of a help here on how to run the tool. So what I'm going to do is an install option. So I'm going to type in DBSpider, the name of my map instance, and then the map database with the install switch. So if I go ahead and run this command, dbspider vm4 maps, which is my map instance, map40 is my map database with the install switch, what that's going to do is run that script that I showed you and install all the objects into my map40 database. I'm actually not going to do that right now because I've already done that in the past and I have a lot of data that I want to show you from that database, so I don't want to mess with that one right at this point, but that's how you do the install right there. Then what you do is you just kind of remove what we just had there a second ago. We had this install switch. Once you've done the install, then you're done with that. So then you can just go ahead and run the tool in its own right, and you can what you'll do is just run this and let it run day after day. Just kind of let it run in the background. And what it's going to do, it's going to go out and on a daily basis, every almost 24 hours, a little less than 24 hours, what it's going to do, it's going to go out to all the SQL servers that your map tool found, and that's going to pull back all the databases in each of those SQL servers and pull that back that information into your map instance. So here's my map instance, and you remember it created these tables and sort procedures under the Wilmo schema here. So what it's going to do is start filling up things like, I put them in order 0 through 4. So you've got Windows servers that dive down to SQL instances, that dive down to SQL databases, to tables, to users, to indexes. I've also made a database diagram of that. If you want to look at that, you can kind of see the relationships of all those things in this database diagram. So here's a look at the database diagram. If you see, it goes from Windows server to SQL instance to database. Databases have users, and databases have tables, and tables have indexes. So what you can do is kind of play around with that schema. If you want to do some reports on your own, you're welcome to go ahead and do that. Just know what the primary foreign key relationships are, and then you can go from there. So I'm going to go back to the map database example here, the map extender database example that I just ran. You can see that ran through this one instance, two instances here. Then it threw an error on a network issue with this server VM1. Well, that server's turned off, so that's fine. What it's going to do, it's going to log that exception into a table that I have. I believe it's called exceptions. So if you find that, if you ever want to look through all the errors that you may be experiencing on the network, you can just go down to it's called the errors table. And you can see kind of all the errors that you're having on a given date. The exceptions table, what that does, if you want to have certain machines that you don't want the tool to hit, you just list them in the exceptions table. That's how that works. So this tool ran through, found lots of databases, found lots of tables and indexes, had some errors that it logged because all these machines are either decommissioned or turned off. They were entries in my Active Directory that are kind of ghost entries. So that's great. It's going to sleep for the majority of 24 hours at this point. So I'm going to open up a second command prompt here, same directory, and I'm going to run the Windows Presentation Framework app from the Telerik add-in that I'm using. So I'm going to run this wpfapp.exe. What it's going to do, it's going to ask me for the same information that the other tool. Remember the other tool we had entered in the instance name of the map server as well as the map database. Well, what we're going to do here is just enter in that same information. So let me go back to that application. So here's the application. I'm going to enter in the map server and the map database like we did in the other command prompt. Hit OK on that. And the good news is you get this really lovely WPF app that you can look at and see for my entire utility, what's my database growth and changes here. That's database size. Then you get the log size, the same thing. You can see it does it by date. If you want to kind of see what kind of strangeness happened here, you can hover over this point. And you can see that my cluster instance changed by a significant amount. So that's a nice feature. You know, if you hover over things, you can see incremental changes, major changes, and things of that nature. Now, this down here shows your instance sizes. These are the instances that I have. I can see the major ones that I have. If I hover over that, I get a nice time series on the instance growth there. So that's really helpful. Also, if you look on the right side, you can see the data space by version. So it looks like I'm mostly running Enterprise Edition, which is fantastic. And then a nice feature, if I click on one of these instances, then what you're going to see is this upper graph here. It changes from the utility to the actual instance growth, as well as this donut over here on the right changes to all the databases in that instance. So let's go ahead and click on that. And you'll see that the upper graph is updated, pretty flat line, which is good. It's a stable instance. And then on the right side, I see a listing of, looks like this NLP database is the majority of the space on there, and AdventureWorks is on there too. So I might want to, you know, get rid of AdventureWorks because I don't really need that as a demo server. So that's a production server. That's good to know. I want to get rid of that database, and maybe there's some other databases that I want to look at or consider. And again, this is just a really quick way of getting up and running on this tool. So hopefully that makes sense of how to set up the map extender, some of the reports that you can get both from WPF as well as from the CodePlex download that you'll see the PowerPivot application in. And you know, hopefully you like the way that I'm leveraging tools like Telerik and PowerPivot and Visual Studio and SQL Server 2008. Feel free to send me any questions that you want. I'm Mike, WILM, at Microsoft.com. Thanks for your time.
This is a look at some of the things you can do with PowerPivot with the data that we've pulled from the map tool extender. You can see here that you can click on any a server name, instance name, product. What that will do is it will change the way that the data is actually filtered. You can do the same thing for things like database name. You can also combine items like business group. If you have a business group data set that you want to combine with this, you can go ahead and do that. If you look on different tabs, you'll see that you have all the data here in this tab. If you look at a different tab here, you can see there's other visualizations that you can do with Power Pivot. So really powerful stuff, something to consider. Russell Christopher was the SQL Server BITS that created this. He has a big following on the web, so if you search on Russell Christopher, you'll find that he's got a great blog out there for BI. And I'll just click some of these other tabs so you can kind of get a feel for it. But the great thing about Power Pivot, it's Excel-based, it's an in-memory database, very powerful to do slicing and dicing and get really powerful visualizations that you can see here with the data. So you can go to powerpivot.com or powerpivotpro.com to find more samples and how-tos. So hopefully that helps. Good luck and talk to you soon.